You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Hello, everyone. I hope everyone's doing well so far. It's been kind of a chilly evening, but we're about to get into some BSU. So here in the building, we have the BSU exec team, not all of us, but a lot of us. And we can basically go down the list of who we are, introduce our names, our position on the BSU team. And, what's a fun fact? We can do what our programs are. Yeah. Okay. So I'll start off. So fun. My name is Harmela. I'm on the events team for BSU. And I'm just in the arts. So, okay.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mary. I am the VP events of the BSU team this year. And I am a new sociology major.
Hi, everyone. I'm Aisha. I'm co-president of the BSU, and I'm studying kinesiology.
Hello, everyone. My name is Olamide. I'm the other co-president for the BSU this year, and I'm studying honors biology.
Hi, everyone. My name is Aisha. I'm in Sauder, and I'm the treasurer.
What's good, people? I'm Stephanie. I'm director of media, and my major is creative writing.
Period.
Slang. Okay, so BSU is the Black Student Union here at UBC, and I think it's really important that we start off with who we are exactly, what our team does, and what we are hoping for on the UBC campus. And I'll have my president, Aisha, go ahead and elaborate.
So the Black Student Union is a student-run organization on campus, and we're dedicated to the representation and empowerment of Black students on campus through social events as well as academic ones. If you guys walk around campus, you'll probably notice that there's not too many Black people. I think, why are you guys being so quiet? Yeah.
Are we supposed to ad-lib?
Yes, yes.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yes, absolutely.
My bad.
Join in a You walk around, there's not too many Black people, and we're kind of just the Centralites space, not physical. We might get to that later, but a space for Black students on campus to be around other students who look like them, because it might be the only time of the day where you see someone like you. I don't know about you guys, but I'm in some classes and I'm the only Black student there.
I think the only Black person in the program, low key.
Period.
Yeah. Literally in third year Sauder, I think me and one other girl, we are the only Black
I think
girls.
There's
there might be more, but that I know of, we're the only girls.
Exactly.
In creative writing, there might be 10 people that are Black.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We stand out.
We really do.
So this is the one space I feel where we're comfortable, which maybe we're comfortable in other aspects, but it's. Mm-hmm.
I think it's safe to say comfortable.
Yeah, comfortable.
I think
100%.
100% comfortable. I feel in classes, you have to be. You have to represent almost every Black person.
You guys do that?
I feel like you have to, though.
For me personally, I feel also at Sauder, I hate to be oh my God, at Sauder, but I'm not gonna lie, at Sauder, I feel there's a thing where it's you're the only Black girl, and sometimes when certain situations comes up, it's you can't really speak about things, because then they only view it as you're a Black girl, and you're speaking at this only through this lens, but it's no, bro, I just think this, it's not
and
that deep.
I didn't realize until this year and this position how much it affects people in classes specifically.
Yeah.
I've really thought about it this year. I'm in a seminar for the first time, and when you talk about anything race, it's almost everyone slowly turns and looks at you.
Because
you're the only person with these experiences. It's crazy. And then there's the thing with profs.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and how
there's
lack of Black profs.
Five of them.
Yeah.
I could probably sit here and name them all right now.
And half of us haven't even had any of them, which
no,
is
for real.
A completely
separation.
Only if you take half.
I even
have to take a class.
Not even.
No, there's a white prof.
I have a.
Where? Is she South African?
Oh, my bad. No, my prof is, she's white. She's amazing. I will have to say that. But she is white, and it is an African studies class. But she's aware of that, so yeah. I guess that makes sense.
Did she mention it? Experience.
Yeah, she did mention that she's white.
Okay.
It was obvious.
Some classes.
Now I'm like, you know, you have to, like, mention, like, hey, guys, I know this is African studies, and obviously, you know?
I mean, you could be African and white.
Like, she's not.
But it's different.
Oh, yeah.
Like, different experiences.
But some classes, true. I definitely feel like I wish I just had the opportunity to be taught by, like, especially when it's, like, topics about, like, black people, like, would be nice, especially at a school, yeah. like a big institution.
I know.
This,
like, mostly has like,
international.
It's like, they'd be speaking
my quotations.
Like, hello? Yeah. The prof should, like, reflect
the student population.
Student diversity. Yeah. Like,
and I feel like even if the profs are representing the student diversity, then we need more black people admitted into UBC, yeah. period. Yeah. Because
which
even.
I definitely think is improving.
It is improving. Oh, yeah, but even the transition from, like, last year being in second year and now third year, mm-hmm. the amount of black people I see on campus is, like, astronomically bigger.
Yeah.
And, like, still, even. Like... And even. It's still not even a lot.
No,
it's not. But for, like, Vancouver standards, yeah, I'm like getting used to, like, oh my gosh, there's so many black people now, like, yeah, we'll get like 60 of us in a room and I'll be like jumping.
You're like, what the
it's like, like, where'd you guys come from? But
no, but like when I was in second year, I think, like, yeah, like obviously we were all friends and I just we'd be like, oh my god, did you see that one black person? Now it's like, yeah, it's like more of a norm, I think, yeah. But it's still definitely like, it's still like when I go into class, like, why am I the only black one? And I think, like, what, like, going back to the thing about profs, like you guys were talking about, like, my ESG class is like an environmental social governance class. I feel like that sometimes would, at least a prof of color, like, that's just my thing, like, it was just, I think certain subjects, like, I hate to say it, but I feel like certain subjects need, like, a person of color, yeah. sometimes, because the experience is just, you just can't, like, there's just such a disconnect, you know what
but
I'm saying?
I mean God know. Bless BIPOC, but I would prefer a black professor,
yeah,
because sometimes, like, even though we are all people of color, sometimes they just don't get it, bro.
Right,
and that's
okay. Yeah. Such a big difference. Like,
yeah.
Like, the racialized experiences of black people is very different than all people of color, not to say that other people of color do not go through, because they go through.
Yeah.
They go through their hurdles.
Yeah. And, like, we don't
get
it. And we don't get it, but it's not the same, you know?
It's not the same. Everyone has different things.
Our school really prides itself on, like, being diverse, and I remember I heard, I don't remember who exactly this year, but, like, one of the Black Student Union things, they were like, yeah, our school says it's diverse, and then you get here and you realize that it might be diverse, just not with black people.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And, like, even the, what is it, the BIPOC panel? Can we talk about that?
Which
oh, yeah. The one where there's, like, no black students on it, but it's, like, BIPOC. Oh.
Yeah, like, the BIPOC panel. I believe it's for the Arts Undergraduate Society. There's no, like, black people on the BIPOC panel.
No.
Like, at all. Like, zero. Oh. And it's, like, really
there's so many
hard.
Black people in arts.
Yeah, you would, like, it's the largest faculty. Really, so it's kind of interesting that the faculty doesn't represent, because if you're meant to fight for the issues of BIPOC students, you need the B in the BIPOC. And I don't even think they have the I.
Yeah. Oh, they don't have the
Like, I think it's just POC.
Oh.
And it's like, it's really hard because what, for example, I can go through in the arts, this is, like, there's been some, like, questionable interactions and comments with profs. And it's like, who do I go to if, like, no one gets what I mean, because it might seem like very minimal to them, but it's like a microaggression for me, and it's like, it makes me uncomfortable, and I'm not gonna sit there and just, like, cry about it, because like, you build thick skin after a while. But so it's just it'd be nice to see yourself represented, and I think that's something, like, as a school they're obviously working towards, but I guess faster steps, because
it's more 2022. Like,
it's 2022.
Yeah.
This leads me into the next question, which is, what is something that would make your experience as black students on this campus 10 times better?
She got it.
A black space.
A black space.
In case you didn't hear her, a black space.
A black space.
I just, like, I feel like it's overdue at this point. Yeah. Like, so many other schools have it. And even if they didn't, like, if we're supposed to be these, like, this leader of academics and all around across the world, like, why are we waiting for other people to do it first? And from talking to students from other schools, like, after everything happened with, like, George Floyd, may he rest in peace, and that was, like, our incoming year, if I remember correctly, and now that I, like, deep it, what did they do after that?
Nothing.
The scholarship came, like, a year after, which, like, It's helpful. Like, that's like, cute. Yeah. But what about the students that are already here? Like, yeah. I feel like we got zero
they
support.
They did nothing. I know what they did. Like, they did that thing in the beginning of classes. I don't know if you guys had that. Like, in the beginning of classes, they would just have the prof be like, hey, guys, like, we heard about this. So sorry.
We didn't even get that.
We didn't even get that.
No, I got a couple of the. Well, I also was taking. I'm definitely the type of classes I take, like sociology, psychology, you kind of have to talk about it. Yeah, if you don't, you're kind of, yeah.
Literally, some of my solder profs that were like, hey guys, like, this man was unreasonably killed. Like, so sorry about that, though. Like, back to the lesson. Like,
some of the crazy stuff was trying to turn it into a debate because I was in a crime and society class first year when like we were just in like the aftermaths of it, and it came up and it turned into a whole debate. They're like, oh, but he had a fake check and he had this and he had that and he had this, that, and the third. I'm like, the fundamental problem is that someone was killed justifiably. And I don't want to get into that aspect of that. But it's just interesting that even in little things like that where you can, like, those things are overlooked so quickly because we have kind of grown up. Because I feel like the first ever, like, big event I remember was Trayvon Martin and that killing really like shook my entire view on the way like I saw myself in society. So that's something that like you grow up knowing that about yourself in society, but it's such a small thing that people don't notice and it's just like brush under the rug. It's like, oh, sorry about this happening, forgetting that it literally affects our lives like every day and like we have to deal with the consequences and aftermath.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't think they really took the time to like think about the effect that it would have on us as students. Like the emotional like trauma of like seeing those videos like
showing it
the fake like activism after and just like everything and something as I'm sorry, there's construction going on every day at the school. Like, something as simple as, like, a room for us to just get together and feel like we had a space, like, can make such a difference. And, like, it's so annoying sometimes to have to, like, fight for this stuff as students because I feel like we, like, the Black Student Union specifically, like, I feel like we do things that, like, people are getting paid to do.
Yeah, we do.
And, like, we're doing it for ourselves, we're doing it for each other, and, like, it's not for recognition, but we shouldn't have to fight for everything.
No, it's like we're fighting for scraps sometimes, too.
It's like in fine arts, they don't even, fine arts is very, very, very Caucasian, very white. They do not fight for BIPOC people at all. It's like, even when it comes to like doing like diversity and stuff, that's a beef. Like, I'm currently beefing with my program right now. Y'all know who you are, okay? Nah, because I don't know. It's like, you can't keep doing that kind of stuff, you know, and not expect someone to fight back. Mm-hmm. Like, I believe in the Old Testament, fight fire with fire, okay?
Ooh, what verse is that?
What you mean? No, what? In the Bible, don't it say an eye for an eye in the Old Testament? Yeah, we on that Old Testament. Don't play with me.
Yeah, moral of the story is we need a black space.
No, for real.
We do.
That's just like one thing that I think would make a big difference. Just because, I don't know, we all like try to hang out together and stuff like, like, after we'll have a BSU event, everyone's kind of just lingering around. Because like,
they want to hang out.
Figuring out where to go because they just want to be around each other, but they don't know where to go. For like, those, at this point, we're taking over residence, like, buildings.
Exactly. For those who may not know at home, what would you say a black space is and what does that entail and look like?
Black space. Oh, sorry. Yeah, so pretty much we're just looking for a room. Like, a room, maybe a fridge.
A room with a fridge. No, she's not.
A room, a fridge. You know, a TV, like
a couch.
Like
a desk to study.
Exactly.
Like, two desks and a couch.
Honestly,
we'll
if we could just like
a collegia.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah. Literally, just a collegia space. We're not asking for that much.
No,
just,
there's so many rooms available in this entire huge campus that's like a city of its own.
Exactly.
But yes. Please, not the scraps of like the outskirts of campus, like central campus.
And I think something we've seen this year with doing our weekly kickbacks, which are going to be starting up again in the next semester. So be sure to check out UBC BSU on Instagram to keep updated with our weekly kickbacks and where they're happening. But something we've seen with our kickbacks is that there is a population of black students who will consistently show up to a room to hang out with other black students from UBC. Every week that we've put this on, the room has been full. We have
50
people.
Every single 50 as a minimum. Week, like, they come and play random games. They don't even know what we're doing, and they still show up.
They still show up.
Mm-hmm.
And the room is just too small. We know we have too space. Small. We know there's a demand here. It's not like, oh, there's no demand. What do you guys want a room for? No one's going to show up. We've, like, recognized the demand. That's why we do the week.
And I think also the time constraint. I think, like, we've noticed that, like, there, like Aisha was mentioning, that like, there's this, like, overspill of people not wanting to leave.
Yeah,
not because they want to sit around and, like, start another game. They just want to hang out and just vibe.
Listen
and I
to
think
music.
Listen to music, just be around people, get to know, meet different people. I think I've met, like, so many new people of, like, different backgrounds and different ethnicities just through the weekly kickbacks that we have every week. And one thing, I think that was what the space will do for us. There's no time constraint as to when we can be. Obviously, when the building closes, the building closes. Yeah.
But it's not like,
it's not like exactly. Yeah. It's not only like a 6 to 8 window, which is a time that weekly kickbacks happen, 6 to 8. And it's like you can actually like, you just know that there'll be a space you go to where you'll always find your friends.
Yeah.
And I feel like that can be very hard on such a lonely campus, even outside of a race thing and even outside of an ethnicity thing. Just making community on such a big school is really, really hard. If you don't know people coming in here or if you don't talk to people in your classes, it's really hard to make friends. And there's a lot of times where you just have lunch alone and you don't want to have lunch alone. It'd be nice if you could go to somewhere and know that there'll be other people having lunch. You don't even have to talk to them just to know that you're in community with other people.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like especially the older years were like hit really hard by this because first year before, like we came in 2020. First years before us and like after all of COVID, I guess, had a different, just because you get the experience of like a first year residence where you might make friends with like your roommate.
Mm-hmm,
you have the like cafeteria, I don't know, communal bathrooms, whatever you want to call it. And then what we had was a year where we were at home by ourselves.
Online.
So it was already hard
we
to
robbed.
Connect with people that way.
Right.
Yes, we were robbed.
Right.
No
we
Jumpstart. Actually, it happened.
It was
online.
It was online.
And like the people I met at Jumpstart, love y'all, but we don't really talk that much
it's
anymore.
Like, I see them in the hallway and say hi, but it's
I don't
not
even
like,
remember
you know?
Who was in my Jumpstart group.
Yeah, but it's just, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's,
I don't know. I feel like we were hit particularly hard and like specifically like related to the Black Student Union, at least. Like, I don't know what it was like before. I heard it was great, but I definitely feel like it took a hit when everything went online.
Oh, it did. Absolutely.
It did. Yeah,
and
yeah.
We didn't get the opportunities to, like, form these instant connections. Like, we had to go seek it out. And then I think that by seeking it out is when we notice, like, all these issues that have been so deeply ingrained. And, like, we're trying to change it, but
it's hard.
We
need
it's
support.
Hard.
We need support, yeah.
Support.
I think something that I've also noticed here in this city as a whole is that as a Black person, it can feel like you're not being met with open arms a lot of the times.
Yeah.
So even when it comes to making friends and just like interacting with people on campus, it's not just a matter of there being like a minority of Black people and not being able to find that many friends that way, but it's about finding people around you that see you, that understand you, that speak your language, that understand your value instead of like seeing past you. In these classes that I'm taking and in the world of this campus, it is so discouraging when you have this sort of sense of like not being seen not just having like a cloak on you. And so I think being in the BSU and being around the BSU has been something that has been like integral to my experience, at least.
I think for all of us.
For all of us.
No, for
us.
I like
highlight of my literal life.
No,
no, I don't know what I would do without BSU.
Yeah.
I think I would be lost.
I would have transferred to York.
You're gonna be in the room.
For me, also like the weekly kickbacks is definitely something I look forward to. Like,
me too.
Sometimes I can't make the entire thing, or I only stay for an hour. I leave like early, whatever. But it's definitely sometimes like, yeah, you have your friends, but there's something about when you step into a room full of Black people, and it's just like you just like it clicks. Like it's just like I know like I'm gonna come in here. I'm gonna say a joke, and no one's gonna like sure, okay, some of my other people get it, but like.
People
really get it.
Yeah.
Like, we start running when we laugh.
And it's like,
oh,
every, like, like we really like you, everyone really gets it, and like you just like you also the diversity in the types yes. of people that you meet, like it just really stood out to me this year, especially in the kickbacks, is like there's so many different types of people that I've met through the kickbacks, and it's just like I think just the thing about being seen is definitely a big thing. When you walk around this campus, you can literally you can see someone you know and they'll walk straight past you because everyone's in their world, like and I get that, right? But stepping into like what was 1501 or whatever in the life building on Thursdays or Tuesdays, I was like, hello, like like this is this is gonna be fun, like I know if I'm going to an event it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, and there's something so special just about like the BSU and the community in general, and I feel like it's just like it's not replicated anywhere else, and I almost wish I feel like that's why we want everyone to be a part of it so bad, because we feel like they're missing out. Like we're so the crazy people that are literally
if you're black or you know someone black, point them to the BSU.
Like we're actually the crazy people on campus that'll walk up to a random black person and be like, hey, have you ever heard of BSU? Like,
pull up the Instagram.
Just because like we feel like you're just you're missing out.
You're
like
missing
it's so
out.
Fun.
And now we're going to be heading into a quick ad break. So, enjoy.
You know what I could go for right now? Authentic flour tortillas pan-fried until golden brown.
Yum!
Or vegan taco kits filled with traditional Mexican chilies and spices.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Or how about vegan potato and chorizo taquitos?
How can I get these foods immediately?
Buy Lita's Mexican Foods.
Sounds delicious. Tell me more.
Lita's Mexican Foods is a female-managed, plant-based Mexican food innovator in BC. Their products come prepackaged and frozen at tons of local grocery stores around Metro Vancouver. Not to mention they can be cooked in under 10 minutes.
Wow, that sounds perfect for me. I've been so busy lately and dinner takes so long to make. Where can I get my hands on some Lita's Mexican Foods?
Lots of places. Whole Foods, Choices, Stong's, Vegan Supply, Donald's, and even UBC Bookstore. Hey, where are you going?
To buy some Lita's Mexican Foods. See you later.
See ya.
This year, Christmas is coming early with 24 hours of student power. Tune in to CITR 101.9 FM on Wednesday, December 7th. For 24 hours of pure student radio, featuring special episodes from the Intersectionality Collective, Black Student Union, Astro Jazz, Unceded Airwaves, and Dog-Eared After Dark. Tune in on December 7th so you don't miss out on what all the cool kids are talking about.
CITR is powered by Guayaquil Yerba Mate. Yerba mate is a naturally caffeinated drink that comes in a variety of formats, from loose leaf to cans to bottles. Yes, the yellow ones. Guayaquil mate is all organic, non-GMO, and sure to make you come to life. Guayaquil is more than just a yerba mate brand. They're focused on personal, social, ecological, and cultural growth through their commitment to regenerative practices, which include stewarding the South Atlantic rainforest and partnering with indigenous South American communities through the production of yerba mate. Visit guayaquil.com, G-U-A-Y-A-K-I.com, to learn more and find this delicious drink near you. Or stop by CITR station on UBC campus for a free yerba mate can.
Are you interested in conversations about intersectionality? Listen to Intersections, presented by CITR 101.9 FM's Intersectionality Collective, a show where we tackle a range of topics that impact gender, race, sexuality, and social justice, like anti-fat bias, understanding microaggressions, and racism in the food industry. Tune into Intersections bi-weekly on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM. Each episode will feature either a panel discussion from the members of the Intersectionality Collective or an expert on that week's topic. So tune in and also check out our episode archive on citr.ca/intersections.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I hope you've been enjoying our conversation so far. So for our BSU, I have another question, which is, what does BSU look like at UBC in 3 years from now?
Three
It's a little awkward.
We have a room, God willing.
Yes, we have a Black student space. I think that's like a big thing that we're lobbying for this year. So definitely a Black space and funding. Funding, 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 funding. We have so many ideas. Harmela and I are on the events team as well as like Gabriel. And we have so many ideas for all these things that we want to do. But the problem is money's a little tight right now. And you guys are university students. We're university students. And we don't want to be having to pay like a lot of money for events, especially when we just want to build community. So we definitely need funding. So hopefully 3 years from now, there is like consistent funding coming into the BSU every year that we have to take from, and that we don't, not necessarily that we don't have to account for, but it's not like a long overdue process to get the money in our account. That's a whole other thing. But yeah, so for me, hopefully in 3 years, a space, funding, and honestly, better community. I want, BSU can only do so much if the people, if the Black people on campus do not want to identify with their Blackness and do not want to identify with being Black. Like, I can only, like, for example, I love being Black. I want to make Black friends. I think I've grown up like that. So that's something that was important to me coming here. But when I came here, there were a lot of people, and I can't plague you for how you grew up, like, especially if you didn't grow up around a lot of Black people. But there's only so far the BSU can go. So definitely people wanting that community and seeking it out, because when people seek it out, like the group that Harmel was mentioning, like, we have people that come consistently every week. Those people seek it out, and those people have made connections, and they've reaped the benefits of seeking it out. So those are my three things.
And then I feel like it also motivates the exec team to keep going, because it's hard.
It was hard.
It's hard. But yeah, maybe that was almost said it all.
Yeah.
I hope there's like more Black people on campus.
Yes.
I hope admission does their thing. I think this new scholarship.
But they need to like talk to like Black people in like marginalized communities.
That's what I was going to say. Like maybe in the future. Yeah. I feel like we end up putting everything on the Black Student Union. And it's like a lot of work. But I don't know if BSU or like another group of maybe, I don't know, paid staff.
Period.
Admission staff can do more work to reach out to like high schools, like Stephanie said, in marginalized communities, so that they actually know about the opportunities, they know about the scholarship, just so we can, you know, grow.
Just one thing, like, I feel like just kind of popped in my head. Wouldn't it be so interesting that the BSU became something greater than the BSU as it is right now?
Exactly.
Maybe one day it's not even a student run club, like it's a student led club, but it's like we have literal admin running aspects, because the stuff that we deal with, we have to get our own funding, we have to plan events, we are doing the work of many with a 12 person team, and it's literally impossible because
we don't get paid
and we're also full-time,
not that we're looking for money but we're full-time students,
so you know the timing is a lot. So definitely hoping that one day like the BSU becomes a thing greater than itself, like an actual union.
I definitely agree with having more like staff and admin, just because I would feel like it would be easier to, I don't know, manage. Like I know some other universities, I'm not gonna name them specifically because I don't know how that works, but they have like way bigger exec teams, like full first year and second year councils, and I know a lot of people like want to be involved, but it's too much for like two people to manage, like, well, and I like presidents, like I just think it's too much. So definitely having some staff behind it would be really helpful, and just some support. And like the exec team needs support too. Like we're Black students just as much as everybody else's, but we just chose to put this on ourselves. And I don't regret it.
No. Yeah. And I think what we're really saying with this is that there is such a necessity for us on this campus. I think Black Student Union is so much more than just another club that hosts events. Like, we are catering to a very, very specific community on campus that does not have a lot of specific resources and supports built for them.
Yeah, like other groups might.
Other groups might. And at the same time, our experience on campus is also very specific and nuanced. And there's a lot that goes into that. And I think if we can see UBC investing into us, investing into the Black students on campus, there's so much, so much that can come from that. There's so much that we can do with that. And I think that's the only way it can go, if that makes sense. Like,
what do you hope it's like in 3 years? Because you're on the team too.
Yeah, I think for BSU, what I hope for is, again, a space. Because I think a space is about...
people are going to be like, just give them the space.
Just give them the room. Just give them the room. But it's about, like, permanency. So it's about something that's beyond us. Because BSU, our team is great. I love our team. But it's about making this more than just us.
Because what happens when we leave?
What happens when we go? Exactly.
We have an amazing team. Fantastic. This year. Like, God bless every single one of you. Mm-hmm. What happens when we're gone?
Exactly. It's about creating, making BSU a permanent system. Mm-hmm. BSU is something that is integral to UBC. BSU is something that matters to UBC. Because by affirming that, we affirm that Black students and their experience here and their comfort here and their safety here matter to UBC.
Mm-hmm. Period.
And everything you're saying is absolutely true. Like, BSU matters to UBC. It's important. It's valued. But, like, do they see it like that?
Exactly.
Which is what is needed.
Yeah. So it's about not only are we putting the work in to show that to UBC, but UBC is putting the work in to show that to us.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so in 3 years' time from now, that is what I hope for with UBC and BSU, is that you see how much we work or have worked, and now you will work with us and for us. And
meet
for
us halfway, almost.
Yeah, yeah. And
like, we're not asking them to do everything for us, because, like,
no,
obviously, like, other groups on campus will do, like, you kind of have to, you have to put something in to get something in return.
Exactly.
But we don't want it to become a situation, which it kind of has, where, like, we just put in and don't get anything in return.
Yes, when it comes to especially, like, funding it ourselves, which is a whole other subject.
Like, how many hours y'all got?
Yeah, it's just about showing up for the Black point. Students on campus.
You guys want to bring up that, like, tuition thing? The SFU?
Well, we just had.
Now that you brought it up.
Well, now that we have brought it up, they're probably, like, it's kind of, like, another thing that we're then, like, talking about and kind of figuring out the logistics of even bringing it up to admission. But kind of having some sort of fee, like, it will not be a lot, like, literally, like, less than $1.50.
Not even $1.
$1 works. And basically, the same way that the AMS collects fees for, like, upkeep of different clubs and, like, the SRC,
like,
and
the
food,
even, like,
bank, the jazz club, like, different clubs have the ability to, like, get a percentage of the, basically, I want to call it the AMS pot of gold. And we would just like a sliver. We would just like a bit of that. So that way, it's like a way. Exactly. It's a sure way that Black students are getting funded and they're getting supported. And these things will not. And if the more money we get, we're able to expand it from more than just, like, social events. We're able, because we not only just tackle the social events, although we push a lot of our social events, because I think a focus of this year is trying to create that community. Mm-hmm. But we focus on the mental health of Black students on campus. We focus on their job opportunities, their future, especially in a place like Vancouver, where there aren't a lot of us. A lot of BIPOC committees don't have us on it. So the people that are even meant to stand up for us don't look like us. So we are that club that we're trying to push for all these things, so much more than just the social aspect. But it does start with the community, because if you don't have a community that is backing you up, you have nothing. So we have to start there. But basically, the idea is having a dollar off, like, our AMS fees to go towards the Black students on campus, so that way they are supported in more ways than just one.
And I think it's also important that people understand the reality of the matter when we're talking about funding, is that funding is a necessity, because otherwise it's coming out of our pockets. Mm-hmm. And it has been for the events that we throw. It's been on us.
It needs to be a better system. Yeah. I'm sorry, us as university students putting our money in. As much as I love all you Black people, I shouldn't be using my, like,
personal
funding, my personal funding to put on
as
these events.
As in next semester tuition type B, putting it down for these events. But I think that just goes to show the drive and the dedication of this team that we have here. Like, these people, you can't see them, but these are some of like my favorite people on this campus, and they're very dedicated to what they do. They don't just, like, we talk even after meeting hours. We have a meeting once a week, but we're always talking. We have, like, we're texting each other.
50% of our conversations, like, have to be about BSU.
They have to be about BSU. We're thinking about it all the time. Even right now, when we're supposed to be thinking about finals, we're thinking about All White, plugging that January 14th. information coming on our Instagram soon, but All White's coming out. But, yeah, thinking about All White in the midst of final season, it's like a full-time job. And I love it. I wouldn't trade it for the world because I'm someone who I wasn't very involved in BSU last year. Like, I went to a couple of their events, but this year I wanted to really take charge of my experience at UBC because it's getting to its end. So I wanted to take charge of it. And that's like, I feel like that's the same thing with a lot of people on our team, and it's just created such a beautiful thing. But
I have a question for Stephanie, since you're in your fourth, fifth year. How would you say that, like, BSU's changed throughout, like, from your first year? And because did it start your first year?
Yeah, it did, actually. Yeah. I remember.
To talk about BSU, you have to talk about my life, too. Or, like, just Vancouver as a whole, because, like, when I came 2018, there were, like, no black people. Mm-hmm. Like, to the point where, like, you would walk down the street and people would look at you crazy because they're just like, what? A Negro? That's insane. But yeah, it happened here. And it was just, I remember there were these two girls. One was named Savannah. I forgot the other girl's name. But they were literally just running around campus and just like targeting black people. Be like, come to BSU, come to BSU. I remember they came to like our African studies class. And I remember that's when I was like, I was fresh out of Calgary. Like, we were still talking that hood talk. I still am, but it was really bad.
Yeah,
but, like, and, like, people were looking at me crazy. But, like, Savannah was the only one that was chill. And she came to me and she was just like, oh, you should definitely come to BSU. And I came. And that's literally how I made, like, all my friends that year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, like, I remember
would you say
then.
It's changed, like, with COVID and, like, after COVID.
COVID? So. I feel like. During COVID, that's when, like, the George Floyd thing happened, and that's, like, when our UBC started to take us seriously, I feel like, because they were, like, calling us for everything. Really? They were just like, we need anti-black.
But is that taking us seriously, or is that just using? I don't mean it like that, but I mean it like that. Like, is that taking us seriously, or is that just using us? Like,
I will say, this is what I've noticed as a whole. Like, when I was in high school and the George Floyd uprisings were happening, all of a sudden, I had a voice. Yeah. They were asking me in class, you know, and people would listen. And
like, why does it take something bad? Like, I talked to some of my friends that are on other black student unions at other universities, and they're like, yeah, when like older than me, because when George Floyd happened, like, they were actually in university. Mm-hmm. So they used that to almost, like, capitalize on the opportunity to, like, get their space, get their scholarship, get their black support. But first of all, none of us were in university, so we couldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. But why should it take something that, like, someone got killed? I think we almost make light of these situations
because it's so black common. People like
but
that,
why does it take someone getting killed and it going viral? Because people get killed every day.
Mm-hmm. True.
And it going viral to that extent, like, protests around the world for the university to be like, oh, maybe we should do something.
Yeah.
So there's no problem, like, before that happens?
Exactly.
And all that has fizzled out now. They don't care anymore.
Mm-hmm. Back where we started.
And which poses the really sad question of what does it take? Mm-hmm. What does it take? What does it mean? What exactly do we mean to you then if that's the only way, like, through tragedy, mm-hmm. that you see us? Mm-hmm. I will also say that in my high school, there was a black student union that tried for a really long time to get going. They left. There was no black student union. And it wasn't until I, at my school, after the George Floyd uprisings, demanded for one that we got one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well,
what is that?
Period,
well.
Like, it's almost like it was out of, like, they had to.
It was basically like that. Like, okay, we have to do this because how can we not now? Mm-hmm. And so what I implore from UBC is to not wait until they have to do this, until they have to invest in us, until they have to see us. We start right now. Mm-hmm. We start right now. We get this going. BSU is a must. So,
and I do feel really grateful for the changes that have been made.
Yes,
because I definitely know there's like a few key people that are like working really hard behind the scenes to make sure they happen. Like they probably need the support too.
Exactly,
because it takes a village. It takes a village. Like they might be on their own too. So yeah, definitely like the scholarship was a very very like the Beyond Scholars program, amazing, because that's why there's so many Black first years on like this campus. Like I guarantee, and like that's so amazing for the future. I'm kind of jealous. I'm kind of ticked that we didn't get it.
I know,
but I'm glad that like
use a scholarship.
Exactly,
you know?
I'm glad for the future that like at least like it's a start, and hopefully like we take advantage of that fire that's been started and just make it as big. Like we're pouring everything we have into it. Like I'm literally I'm gonna start crying. Like, we're pouring everything that we have into it, but we want it to be permanent. Like I don't want to come back visit in 5 years and like it's the same. Like that would just break.
But you know what's gonna what's probably gonna happen though, like Stephanie. This is what's probably gonna happen. I'm not gonna say nothing crazy, but I feel like because of like systemic racism, it's gonna be like us, like when we're grown, we're gonna come back and give them money.
Which does happen at other schools, though.
That's how alum, scholarships.
Alum, yeah, and that's why there's, like, apart from the Beyond Scholars, I don't think there's any other scholarship for continuing students, which is also, like, the sucky part, because I feel like as upper years, we were forgotten.
Yeah.
Like, nothing was done to make sure that we were okay, in my opinion, at least. I don't know if anyone else has a different experience. But even you guys, to be honest, I feel like it's the year after you that they started caring.
Yeah.
Or starting... I'm not going to say, like, everyone that was here, like, didn't care, but I don't think any action was taken until then. And then we're still here, so we're still going through it. But
I also think there was just not... I won't say there wasn't a want for it, but... I feel like, especially when it comes to Black issues, if Black people are not patrolling for it, it's not going to happen and the change isn't going to come. Because there's this kind of assumption that, well, if they needed it, they would ask.
But when we shouldn't have to.
Yeah, we shouldn't have to ask, but the reality is we're going to have to.
We're going to have to ask. And I think there's this interesting thing that I've noticed in universities that there's this focus on student life, which, yes, UBC has a student life. But the thing is that we have to remember that each student's life is very nuanced, that the student life that you face is not the same one I face. The stuff that you can go to and not think twice about it is not the stuff that I can go to and think not think twice about it. For example, something as simple as like a party, I literally have to be like, okay, who do I know there? How many Black people are going to be there? Will I look like an anomaly in this party? Let's not talk about the racism that you can face being the only Black person at a party.
Or being in a group.
Or in a group. As a group, you're just looked at differently. You're looked at as this strange thing that just doesn't belong. And even if people don't go up to your face and be like, oh, you're Black, get out. You can tell from the vibe. You can tell when they're reluctant to let you in.
Yeah, I feel like we've had people say that before.
This is a private event. Four people behind us were literally let in. But anyways, that's
even
like
the other intersectionalities that come with like Blackness. Like sometimes I'll be talking to like other Black people on this campus, and it's like when I hear what they like do just to like to survive here, bro. I'm like, that's way too much. Like, I would have been at my mom's house since, bro. Yeah. Like, some people got two or three jobs.
Yes.
Like, they're on here on scholarships, bro. But even those scholarships are not enough. Like, they're doing way too much. I was like, this university actually doesn't care about them, bro.
As our time is slowly coming to an end, I want to ask all of you guys, what does being part of BSU mean to you?
Literally everything. Like, I just would be so lost. I think all my closest friends are people I've met through BSU, because I almost didn't realize that I needed the community, like, until I got here. Mm. And I found it, and I was like, this is crazy. This is what I've been missing all my whole life. Aww. So, like, it literally means everything to me, and I want, like, every other Black person on this campus to get that experience. Like, and it doesn't have to become your everything, which I think it just has for a lot of us, just because we had nowhere else to turn to. But even just, like, going to one event a month, one event a year, where you, like, you'll see a familiar face, someone that you can catch up with. Like, I think it, like, it means a lot, and people should definitely seek the community out.
Oh, me? Yeah. I mean, it's the reason why I'm still here at UBC low-key. Like, if BSU was not here, then I would not be here, because it's like the silent violence is too much, bro. Mm. Like, the way racism is in, like, Vancouver, bro, is too lethal. I'm like, I'm out. Mm-hmm. Like, even in Calgary, where they'll hit you with, like, the N-word and call you a monkey and stuff.
but
it's,
see,
like,
that's overt.
And then I know, like, it's almost... like, I'd rather, this sounds crazy, I'd rather deal with that on some hood over. Stuff. Like, we handle it there, if you know what I mean, than, like, dealing with, like, suburban... upper middle class to, like, upper class white people with, like, passive aggression, like the kind of passive aggression that could, like, cut through steel. I'd rather deal it's with
true.
My little hillbillies back home.
It's
like
true.
Honestly,
yeah, like, kind of just reiterating the same sentiments. I think BSU has become an opportunity for me, not just to feel unapologetically Black, like,
yeah.
Damn. Like, I don't feel like I have to, like, dull myself down or dull my interest down. Like, that's what it's become. It's become a safe place for me. Like, BSU to me means safety. Mm-hmm. And I think that is, I will give a shout out to our co-presidents. They are amazing. They have fostered such a community for us. And
such a great
shout
job.
Out to Alamide and Aisha. They have done such a good job at making this team feel like family. Our meetings don't even feel like meetings. They
literally
feel like we're just hanging out with our friends and trying to get work done at the same time. So it has become safety for me. And that's,
I think it's really amazing, just because, like, for all of us, specifically the exec team, like, the people that put so many hours that everyone can't see, like, into this, it's become an opportunity for us to actually, like, create change, which, if you've never done that, like, you probably don't know how amazing it feels. But it's so, like, we've created change already in this semester alone, so it's so exciting to just, like, wait for what's to come.
Yeah. I think, like, hearing all of this just makes me feel like my heart feel really good, because I think BSU has given me self-esteem.
Mm.
And, like,
Don't start crying.
I don't want to cry.
I start crying, but, like, genuinely, to be in a space that, like, sees you as beautiful, like, wow.
That one.
Wow. You
don't
know?
Start crying.
Okay, don't cry, please.
But, like, I think BSU has given me this ability to not only feel okay in my Blackness, but to feel okay in my Blackness all the time. So not only am I walking into this space that celebrates and appreciates my Blackness, when I'm walking into spaces that don't have that, I feel that within.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean by self-esteem. Yeah. Like, it's constant, because I know it's true. I know it's there. And I know the people who get it fully maybe not be in this space, but I get it now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank
shout
you, CITR.
CITR.
Yes. Yeah. So please keep posted with BSU. Support us any way possible, especially if you're Black. Come out to our events.
Buy a shirt or some.
If you know someone Black, please point them in our direction. The Instagram is at UBCBSU. We're the most active there. If you want, you can DM us and we'll put you on our newsletter. They're actually really funny. So sign up. Look out for All White in the new semester. It is going to be a fun time. It's going to be a formal, semi-formal food, drinks, music, and Black vibes.
Yes. Don't be scared to approach us. Walk up to us in the streets.
Yes,
okay.
Always. Thank you so much, CITR. And we're out.